adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ahad.
Hey.
He is not Dr. Drew. He is a gynecologist and an obstetrician, and you deliver babies, yes?
That's right.
Board certified. He has filled in for Drew in the past. He's good people, even though he's only one guy. Drew is in Toronto doing a film with the Olsen twins playing their father. So,
you're kidding.
No.
Okay. I should have talked to you about that before. I can't believe it.
Anyway, he's a horrible actor, too, and I pointed that out to my partner, Jimmy, today, and he said, well, they're horrible actresses. And I said, yeah, touche. That's right. And who needs someone acting better than them? Like, if you're going on tour, you want the opening act better? You want the band that goes on in front of your band to be better than you?
No.
No. If you're the Olsen twins, you don't need some hotshot actor. You need a nice wooden Indian type like Dr. Drew.
Ouch.
So, Ahad is... not only a good guy and a good gynecologist, he's been nice enough to volunteer his services tonight. And I think that's the way we're going to sort of steer the show.
So I think, Adam, sorry to interrupt. I think what we can do, though, just in the tradition of Dr. Drew, we can call me Dr. Ben. It might make things easier.
Oh, okay.
That's what we've done in the past, so it's Dr. Ben.
All right. Well, let's just do that. And,
okay.
Maybe now's not time to talk about it, but that's... should have had the conversation before we went on the air, Dr. Ben. But all right, I'm going to scratch that off. All right, Dr. That's Ben, funny. Ask him all the coos-related questions. And see anything strange pull out?
Wow.
Any golf balls? Anything strange in the gyno business in the last few months since we've seen you?
Just babies.
Just babies? You delivering a lot of babies?
Yeah, it's busy.
Is that exciting?
It's great. I think that's why I got into this.
Because you like playing God? Huh? Because that's playing God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're playing God.
Okay.
I believe a woman should just go to the woods, and I've instructed my wife that if she's going to give birth, she goes to the woods, comes back when the kid's 17, 18.
Right, yeah.
At least old enough to get the learner's permit. Anything weird happen? Anything come out with, like, a blockhead or a foot first or an umbilical cord strangling the kid or anything?
No, just no? Nothing too exciting. Thank goodness. You don't want things to get too exciting.
What's the ratio, C-section to a natural birth?
Well, you know, statistically, nationally, you're talking about 25%. And then each hospital...
25% C-section?
25% C-section, right.
Used to be higher, didn't it?
It's hovering... basically right around 25% now.
But wasn't there a thing, I don't know, 8 years ago where it was getting really high and then for insurance purposes and it's come back down?
There was something called the Healthy People 2000 initiative where people saw the handwriting on the wall and saw that a lot of people were getting cesareans and a lot of doctors were not offering trials of vaginal birth after cesarean. So people who had one cesarean section started to get more and more cesarean sections. Well, there's something that can happen to the womb when it's had a previous C-section to it, where that area is inherently weaker, and when you go through labor the second time, it could potentially just rip right open.
Right.
That happens less than 1% of the time, yet it's so, you know, obviously frightening on many levels. And
it's like alien.
Well, it can increase the risk of all kinds of bad things happening both to the mother and child that a lot of obstetricians just went ahead and just started doing repeat C-sections, which... increase the C-section rate even further. So at one point, there was some pressure to bring the C-section back down to about 20%, and that was the goal for 2000. That was not even close to being met. And at this point, it's hovering around 25%.
Don't take this the wrong way, but can you tell the bad ones when they come out? You know what I mean? The troublemakers? The ones we need to ship off to Mexico and Canada immediately? You know what I mean? You look in a kid's eye, you get a pretty good idea where the kid's at. You know what I'm saying?
He's
got placenta on him. He's still attached to the umbilical cord. But I think I can look a kid in the eye, especially his first moments on the planet, because, you know, he doesn't have the facade worked out then like evil people do now. You know, can you spot, I guess, the publicists, the people that are going to be attorneys or publicists? You think you really get a good look at these, get a feel for them, thump them a little bit?
No, I leave that to the pediatricians.
All right.
Yeah, it's not my job.
How big an incision you have to make for the C-section? And don't give me that millimeter crap. This is the United States. You give me inches. You want to get into fractions. That's
I'd
fine.
Say about the diameter on a kid's head is probably running around 10 centimeters.
So there it is.
Okay,
see,
so you know what? Make a fist with your hand. It needs to be at least that big.
I'm going to make this fist. I'm going to punch you if you go metric again. This United States. Now give me inches. How big is a kid's head?
So, you know, you're talking about basically something on the order of 5 inches, let's just say.
5 inches?
Yeah.
All right. Seems about right.
All right.
And what's the average vagina?
Wow. I don't know. I haven't looked that up lately. I'm sorry.
Well, you get your tape out next time you're down there. Madeline?
Yeah?
Hey, you know, Tony Hawk is supposed to be in here tonight, too, and he should be. He probably just went to the old studio. So we can look forward to Tony Hawk showing up any moment now. Hey, Madeline.
Hi.
What's up? You're 17.
Yes, I'm 17. I just want to say, first of all, that Adam Crowley, you're like my ultimate god.
Thank you.
I think you're so hot, seriously.
Yeah.
But, anyways, it's going to sound kind of weird, but, like, every time I orgasm, I, like, pee. And my boyfriend, we've been going out for, like, 2 months, and he wanted to go down on me, and so I let him, but I didn't really, like, warn him about it, you know? And so he went down on me, and then when I orgasmed, I, like, peed on his face, and he didn't really, like, act completely disgusted, but, you know, like, he didn't say much, and I was like, I'm sorry, and then, like, he didn't really talk to me very much the next couple of weeks, and he hasn't done it since then, and it's, like, really awkward when I'm with him.
He had fluid in his lungs. He couldn't talk. He was on pneumonia. He was on a respirator. he didn't talk to you too much.
Yeah.
Well,
so I don't know if he wants to, like, break up, and it's, like, really awkward, and I was wondering if there's a way I can, like, hold it in, or, if, like, if I should talk to him about it, or what.
But this is your boyfriend. This isn't a guy you've just had a few dates with.
No, we've been going out for, like, 2 months.
2 months. All right. And is he said he loved you?
No, we haven't said that yet.
It's just weird that you're not talking. I mean, I don't think the shot of urine in the face helped, but it seems like he should he'd be talking to you if you were in fact his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, we're talking, but he's just, like, not really, like, we're not having, like, the same kind of conversations as we used to. It's just, like, really short, and he seems to, like. And it's, like, no sexual tension, you know, or anything.
Well, maybe he's scared you'll strike again.
Probably. I mean,
all right.
I don't know.
Well, let's ask Dr. Ben if a woman can control this. I know what the answer is.
Okay, so let me just ask you a couple of things, Madeline. First of all, is it for sure that it's pee? I mean, you know the difference. But, you know, you have to realize that there are some women who basically can orgasm and release vaginal fluid that is not urine. So... Mm-hmm. That even though there's something moist coming out of you, the question, and it could be a good amount of quantity as far as, you know, the stuff that can come out that's not pee. So the question is, are you pretty certain that it is urine?
I mean, I've just always assumed it was pee. I mean, it's like, it doesn't look like, I don't know, like vaginal fluid or anything. It's like pee, basically.
And does it smell like pee? Does it smell?
Yeah, it smells like pee and everything.
Okay. All right. Because while that can happen, that's actually less likely than, you know, just basically making a lot of vaginal secretions, which can still look and to some degree feel like
pee. Let's just assume it's
urine
for now.
Let's assume that it's urine. Basically, is this happening?
For the sake of comedy.
Right. Is this happening every time you orgasm?
Yeah.
Has it happened every time? Yeah. I've got some news for you. You probably cannot control it. Now, there's one thing that is available that, you can potentially think about using. Mm-hmm. There are medications right now that basically work very well to stop the uncontrollable contractions of the bladder and stay in your system for long periods of time. I don't know. Have you ever seen, Madeline, these commercials? Usually elderly ladies, there's like, I gotta go right now, that kind of
stuff. Okay.
No.
All right. That medication basically works by stopping that uncontrollable spasm in women who just can't get to the bathroom on time. They have...
Why women or anyone? Could it be a man? Is it made for a woman?
No, it's basically, you know, the urethra is the big physiologic difference is that the urethra is very different in men and women. Men have a much longer urethra. Women's ability to control their urine is somewhat dependent on their ability to constrict that urethra. Tighten that muscle that leads from the bladder to the outside world.
Oh, we got to talk. Because you're saying, now, for we got a lot of stone... Here's our listenership.
Okay.
either super stoned or super stupid. And then there's a third category, which is stoned and stupid. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's important that we speak clearly and slowly. The urethra is that's the whiz hole.
That's right.
And that's like a urine flume. That's where it travels down through the penis. And women have one of those too. Obviously,
that's right.
Not as long as guys. Right. But you contract that or constrict that, and that. Is that what controls urine,
It's that and something else. So you have one mechanism wherein the bladder is told to contract, and you have another mechanism by which you can, while you may not be able to completely control the first, you can control the door out of the bladder.
Wow.
So there's two separate systems. One
Is it
the
whole urethra?
The
I mean, like if you took my whole penis, what part? The middle?
There's something
toward the nut side?
Right, okay.
Or the business end?
I'm getting you. There's something called the functional urethral length. So it's not necessarily true that the longer your penis, the more control you'll have over your bladder.
Good.
But in general, men have a longer functional urethra. That's the part that actually can tighten up compared to women.
That's sac side?
That's sac side, I guess, yeah.
Okay. Is that in you?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
It is. It's in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's that muscle that you use when you, let's say, if you have to stop midstream, that's the one you're contracting.
Okay. So guys, we got more of that than women.
Yeah.
So anyway, this medication,
yes,
which is called what? You know what it's called?
Well, it comes in, there are different forms of it, but the one that, this is the non-generic name for it, is called Detrol, Detrol. It's a fairly new medication.
And you take that and it's good for a day?
It's good for a day.
Good for a day.
Yeah,
so you got something going that night, take it that morning,
It doesn't work quite like that because it takes about 2 weeks to get optimal amounts of this medication as long as you take it on a regular basis. And then you just kind of have to take it regularly as long as you want the effect to last. When you get off the medication, you kind of go back to where you were.
All right. And that will give you greater control?
Not so much greater control, but it will help you control the uncontrollable spasms that are happening in Madeline's case when she orgasms.
All right.
So for her, this might be something to consider, and I would talk to your doctor about it. Just, I want you to know that there is some hope for you. It's not a completely lost case that this has to happen to you every time.
Well, you know, because this question, I hate to drive it into the ground, but what the hell? We got 2 hours to kill. Who am I kidding? Tony Hawk's not here. Dr. Ben.
It's just me and you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Adam.
Oh, please, Tony.
I wish I rode a stick skateboard. You can have something to talk
about. Tony, if you can hear me, hustle, buddy. Come on. Let's go now. we talk about this every night, it seems. Women call. This is like this women's little quiet little secret. It seems like, I don't know what percentage of women, but if it's 3% or 5%, that's a significant number of women that are walking around on the planet. It seems like most of them have this problem or have heard of this or know somebody.
Sure.
And the answer is just sort of, well, try to go number one before you get into bed, and then the other part is the guy doesn't really care. But really, if you're going into year number six of a relationship, it's like going to SeaWorld every time you go down on her, you're going to want some medication.
Sure.
So I'm glad you're here.
Sure, yeah, definitely look into that, Madeline. Good
luck
with that.
I'm going to tell. And is in terms of medication, so I was saying to Drew last week, I was saying, seems like someone ought to look into this or have some medication, or how come there's no studies on this or what have you? Yeah. And he was saying, well, people are uncomfortable, they don't admit it, but there's plenty of problems that are this way in the medical community, and people devise, drug companies come up with products for it. Is this product?
No, it's not specifically made for people like Madeline. It's made for, the vast majority of women that use this are specifically older women who have had increasing problems with controlling their urine.
Is anyone working on the stuff I'm talking about?
Not per se,
you get with that.
The system works exactly the same. The problem is very similar.
Okay. Do you have a lab?
No, Adam.
You don't? No lab.
No lab, sorry.
Real doctor, no lab. Interesting. Drew has a lab. Drew has two labs.
Really?
Drew has a lab in his car.
Mm-hmm. Wow, a mobile lab.
Me.
Like
it's
the Iraqis.
Neat. It's neat.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Okay.
Megan?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up? Drew has a white coat, too. Do you have one of those?
Oh, yeah. I got one in my car. You want to wear it at the break?
Because I know Drew's is better. He's got one of those things that hangs from his neck that he could hear stuff with. So. He told me to name it. I can't remember.
Okay.
You have one of those?
Sure.
But it's not as nice as Drew's.
I bet.
Megan?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
He got one of those fat popsicle sticks he uses to hold people's tongues down when he talks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are good.
Yeah. Megan?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I met this guy about almost a year ago, and we've been, I guess, dating. We've been definitely having sex for the past year. Mm-hmm. But he won't get into a relationship. I know he hasn't been seeing any other girls or anything, but I've been dating other guys, and it totally pisses him off, and he gets really jealous about it. But I told him, you know, we're not in a relationship. You know, I can go out with other guys, you can go out with other girls. But he refuses to go out with any other girls, but he doesn't want to have a relationship. And this has been going on for a year.
Yeah.
How old is he? How old is your boyfriend?
He's 23, and I'm 18.
It seems strange that he refuses to go out. And by the way, do you know that he refuses to go out with other women, or is that just his party line with you?
I know that he doesn't. Like, we talk too much. We see each other enough. I know that it's not that.
Yeah.
Is there some
stumbling block, some fundamental thing, like he's Muslim and you're Jewish, or
No, we both really don't hate each other.
No,
it's not really that big of an important part in our life. So,
no, what I'm saying is there's nothing he can't get over.
No, he says he's in a bad relationship, but I don't know.
I give you another one of those examples, like you dated his brother all through high school or something, or his best friend or something like this. One of those. Sometimes relationships have these fundamental problems that you just can't get past.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like that. And he gets jealous when you go out with other guys.
Yeah, he went through my cell phone, too, and he just saw these guys' numbers, and he just got pissed off, and he started calling them.
Sounds like a dynamite individual. Yeah. I could see why you'd want to do something more permanent with him.
Yeah.
Sounds like an a-hole. What's he do?
I've tried dating other guys, and he's just a wonderful guy. And
yeah, well, no, he's not a wonderful guy. He's unavailable, and that's what's attractive about him.
Yeah, that too. And I've tried to break it off
that too.
Completely.
All right. By the way, that's as close as I ever get to. You're right. Thank you. That was very
you're
insightful.
Right. That was pretty good, Adam.
Yeah, I know. I just have to compliment myself.
Okay.
Yeah, that too. Everyone's pissed off. The closer you get to the truth, the less credit you get. The more angry everyone gets. So, Megan.
She threw it your way, but.
Yeah,
kind of
you don't want some kiss-ass 19-year-old who worships you. You want some unavailable 23-year-old who can't commit. And that's why he's so attractive. But it's not because he's a great guy. Great guys don't keep you on the end of a string and then go through your cell phone and then start calling these other guys that you're forming a relationship with because he won't commit. That's not great guy behavior. He's an asshole. You just love him because he's an asshole.
Yeah,
your
I
dad?
It. It's called,
where's
I mean,
your
it's
dad?
Really
where is he? I don't care. Where's your dad?
My dad's out in Temecula.
Uh-huh. And how often do you see him?
Maybe once every 2 months.
When did he cut out?
About when I was 2.
Uh-huh. So your dad kind of abandoned you then, right?
No, my parents just got a divorce. I mean, my dad and I have been close. He just started another family and everything. And we do get along really good, and I do visit him and stuff. Mm. It's nothing like... I hate him, or he's not in my life at all.
Where did he go when you got divorced when you were 2?
My mom and I moved up to Riverside, and then my dad just stayed where he was, where we had lived before they got a divorce.
Riverside.
Yeah, that's the
problem.
That's
child abuse right there.
It's the smog in Riverside.
Oh, what the hell did your mom move to Riverside for?
We had family. But we're in Huntington Beach now, so everything's good.
Listen, what if you probably got family in hell, too. You want to go there?
Oh,
please.
No.
Riverside.
That's San Bernardino. Right next door.
The only excuse for moving to Riverside is if you think you're going to hell. And it's it's the kind of thing where you don't want to be such a big transition between where you are and hell. So it's like you can't handle the hot tub, so you just go get in the pool, right. And that's kind of warm, and then you can slide into the hot tub after that. It's a little in between waiting pool between that's what Riverside is. It's all people that are bound for hell.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what you need to do. You need to assess your life. Like when you're in your 60s, you go, listen, look, if you've killed a couple of people and cheated on your taxes the entire time, move to Riverside and get acclimated to hell.
Right.
Thank you.
By the way, Adam, just so you know, I went to college at UC Riverside, so I know exactly what you're talking
there
about.
There you go. You've done your time, my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Tony Hawk is here, everybody.
Hello. Hey,
that's Dr. Ben.
Hi.
Filling in for Dr. Drew. Sorry. I know it's disappointing.
Sorry. I went to the old place. I thought I was such a Loveline local that I could just go there on my own without any directions.
That's all right. That's all right. We're glad to have you here at the new old facility. I don't know where... anyway, let me just yell at Megan real fast.
Yeah,
Megan.
Let me
all right, get rid of this guy. He's not interested.
We can't because we keep finding our way back. I mean,
no, you keep finding your way back to him. It's just
this
chaos.
He's back around to me. It's not the other way.
All right. Well, cut him off. Cut him off. He finds his way back to you because he's horny. Cut him off. Yeah. So you know I'm right. Cut him off. Be a woman.
It's more so me, though. It's not him because he's always bitching that the only reason
I'm telling you to cut him off. He won't commit. That's what you want. And if he would commit, you wouldn't be interested anyway because there's no chaos and there's no excitement in that. All right?
You just think it's him and just, you know, he won't commit and that's just it and just leave it alone?
Give him an ultimatum. Tell him either he commits or that's it and then stick to it. All right?
Okay.
Unless you're too scared to find out what that answer is.
Good luck.
See? Yeah, that's heavy. Tony, what's happening?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. I was listening to you yell at me the whole way here. Thanks.
I needed you out here. You know,
yeah,
Dr.
I know.
Ben.
I was really dragging things down. Thanks for showing up.
Well, he's not a, you know, he's a gynecologist, and they can't talk, you know. They have to just sit there.
Right.
Like, it's weird to talk. Hey, what's doing? How
yeah, I don't think you want to have any light conversation during that exam,
do you? Do you try to break the tension a little bit, or is it all just pretty much you're going to feel a little pinch?
Yeah, you say push a lot.
You say
but
push.
That's the obstetrics part.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about that Lamaze? That sounds like a waste of time to me. I'm not interested in that Lamaze.
Okay. Don't do it.
Is that falling out of favor?
Let me tell you. I think it's great for the dads. The dads go in. They support mom's head. They get to visualize what's happening
Hold
to
on.
Their partner.
There's this thing called a pillow that they invented. I think it's about 6 years old now. You just slide it under the head, and it actually acts as a support.
Right.
I don't want to be there.
Oh, no.
Tony, do you have kids?
Three boys.
Were you there when they were born?
Yep.
You standing in the room?
Standing in the room. Videoed one of them.
Were you doing push? Were you like
we did Bradley.
What's Bradley?
Bradley is
it's a fighting
another
vehicle.
Relaxation method.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to be some sort of
what's the difference?
spokesperson or anything, but
what's the difference between Lamaze and Bradley?
I from what I know, Lamaze is more about breathing, and
mm-hmm.
Bradley is more about total relaxation and sort of experience and all. And it's
wow.
very ethereal. But
did it work?
It worked. I have three kids from
right.
two different moms, and
right.
Both no anesthesia.
Really,
nothing.
Wow,
those are amazing women. That's
it was
incredible.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Yeah. So is it like they're hypnotized or something? Or they pick a spot on the wall and focus on it?
Just breathing and visualizing and relaxing and you got to be there. The whole time.
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
Being a bullet that they're biting, you know?
Yeah.
They're squeezing so hard that you're just sort of
really?
Dealing with it.
And
yeah.
do you say stuff?
Try to. Just relax, breathe, you
right.
know? It's coming. It'll be over soon.
Oh,
it'll be all right.
I don't know.
I'm not focused. Hold on.
Oh. No. Oh. All right. Yeah, I don't want to do any of that. Tony's skating in the Tony Hawk's Boom Boom Huck Jam Tour, which is coming to a town near you. And Tony won the 2003 Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Award for Favorite Male Athlete. Not that goddamn Kobe Bryant.
Not Kobe.
So what are we plugging? The Boom Boom Huck Jam?
Sounds good to me.
What is that? How's that work?
That is our arena tour featuring
right.
motocross, skateboarding, BMX, and live music. And we do basically a two-hour stunt show, 30 cities in the fall.
You've done that, what, is this the third?
This
or?
Is the second tour, yeah.
But did you have motocross the first year?
Yep.
I thought it was just bikes and skateboards.
No, motocross
and all that
are
stuff.
Flying over all of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, over the half pipe.
Jesus Christ.
It's a sensory overload. It's
yes.
a lot of fun.
And where are you having it out in Los
Stables.
Oh,
Stables and Anaheim Arrowhead Pond.
Wow. It's bitching.
So last year it went off, you know, I mean, it was kind of a test. And
right.
by the end of it, we were selling out dates. And this year we're doing more cities. We've got a bigger setup, more riders, and we're excited.
Well, it's sort of like the X Games version of like Icecapades, right? Is geeky as that sounds?
I'd liken it to more Cirque du Soleil than Icecapades, if it's fair to you.
But I just mean you have people who
yes.
are professionals
yes.
who... you know, did it at a very high level, who are get together, travel from town to town,
and do a show.
Do it and maybe do it in a more freestyle way than you would be if you're
yep.
at a competition, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, you don't have anyone judging your scores
nope.
or preliminaries or any heats to get through or anything
yeah.
like
and
that.
And there's some choreographed routines, so there's some things where we're going, you know, we're all over, under, and, you know, hit your spot. But at the same time, later in the show, we have a whole freestyle section where people can just go off.
I have a question for Tony. This is the medical question. I've seen stuff like this go on, and I'm just wondering, in the back of my mind, I was always wondering, maybe this is the physician in me. Does anybody ever get splattered? I mean, when I was there, nothing
splattered.
Happened. Splattered. But does something like that ever happen?
Yeah,
if
we get
so,
hurt. Yeah.
Do you have, like, emergency personnel standing by, or what's the plan?
We have an athletic trainer with us. Actually, a friend of mine has been doing it a long time, and he keeps us going on the road, and, you know, and we had a couple concussions last year.
Wow.
But nothing too serious. You know, people assume right away it's like, oh, these guys break bones all the time and blah, blah, blah. But it's not that common.
Really?
But we're doing it at such a high level every night that people get hurt, you know. But no one was out more than one show last year at a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. How many dates did you do?
22.
Wow. That's a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going through a whole football season without only missing
much.
One game.
But, I mean, you know, we get hurt. I just got 18 stitches out of my shoe.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right.
It should have been an orthopedist here tonight.
Could have given birth through that shin. We're going to take a little break. Dr. Ben here filling in for Dr. Drew. Tony Hawk in tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. He's a gynecologist. He is filling in for Dr. Drew tonight, who is in Toronto doing a movie with the Olsen twins where he plays their father. I know it sounds surreal. Tony Hawk is in studio tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tony Hawk's Boom Boom Huck Jam Tour is coming to a town near you. And if you want to find out any information about the tour and the dates and the locations, you can go to www.boomboomhuckjam.com.
Or just TonyHawk.com.
All right.
Easy to remember.
We're talking during the break about injuries and accidents involving BMX bikes, skateboards, and all the other stuff. And Tony said he had a good one, but I told him to save it for the air. And then he said it's too complicated.
I'll try to explain it.
So try to give us a good one.
Okay, well, you were talking about the dangers of the pegs on the bikes, you know, where they used to grind. And obviously,
yeah, because they go in the guy's ribs.
Yeah, in their ribs and their shins and things like that. Friend of mine, Rooftop, sorry for sharing this, but he tried to do a complete loop, you know, like a Hot Wheels track loop.
Mm-hmm. Like in that movie Earthquake, when the guy rode the motorcycle, was trying to ride the motorcycle around the loop.
Yes.
He wasn't just doing a flip. He was going to do it on a track.
On the loop, yeah.
All right.
And
on a bicycle.
Yeah. A couple guys have done it.
Right.
Rooftop decided he was going to do it, and he just went for it straight away without using any pads. And, you know, when we learn it, we put pads in the center in case we fall.
Mm-hmm.
He went for it, and he lost his bike about halfway up and fell from the top.
Right.
And his bike went around the loop, and he met it at the bottom on the peg.
Oh! In his ass, right?
Yeah.
No. In his ass?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Near his ass.
Yeah, near.
Who cares? Anywhere on his body.
Somewhere on his buttocks.
Did it get into him, that peg?
I think it scraped him pretty good, but I don't think he required any surgery.
Wow.
Man.
And
so here's...
I mean, imagine you're falling from this loop. You've already got that dangerous situation, and then your bike decides it's going to beat you to
around.
The punch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing about the pegs. Just if you don't need them, leave them at home.
That's the take-home message.
That's the message. That's right.
That's
all right.
Crazy.
And what... someone's done loops on a BMX bike. Have they done loops on a skateboard?
Yes.
Who's done?
Yeah.
You've done a loop
done
on
it. Yeah,
you've done a loop.
We're gonna
on
do
a
it at the Huck Jam. We built one this tour.
Really?
Yeah.
So now you have to have it like a takeoff ramp.
Yeah,
right?
Takeoff ramp. You know, there's a lot of physics involved because the takeoff ramp has to be the same height as a loop. If it's any higher, you get too much speed and you kind of compress into the top.
Wow. Really?
So there's some. Yeah.
So
some
it really has to be the same height.
Yeah.
And that'll carry you across.
Yeah. Our loop is 14 feet in diameter, mm-hmm. and the starting ramp is exactly 14 feet tall.
Really?
Yep.
So I imagine the first sort of the beginning part of the loop feels sort of normal to you until you start getting past vertical,
once you start getting past vertical, your instinct tells you to turn around.
Right.
So that's why we put all the pads in for the first few times people try it, because you just can't get used to that sort of one track and you're going to keep going straight.
Right.
You know, you want to go back down the other side.
Wow. And how wide is it?
It is 8 feet wide.
8 feet wide.
Yeah.
So it's just a sheet of Luan or plywood or masonite
whatever
you make
ours
it out
is, of. Ours is made by a staging company, so it can be taken apart each night and
right.
set back up. So it's a little more elaborate.
Hey, if this was a good 70s drama, there'd be some dicey stagehand who was looking around and loosening some of the bolts. because that's the way you would kill Tony Hawk. You couldn't wow. just shoot him in the parking lot. You'd have to loosen some of the bolts and him look around and light a butt. This is the stagehand who wears the jumpsuit that's unzipped halfway and he's not wearing an undershirt. Yeah. You well, watch out. Watch out for the stagehand.
He was hired just at that city. Not,
that's right.
He's not traveling with
that's
us.
That's right. Right. Drifter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Drifter.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're going to do a loop. And you didn't do that last year.
We didn't have a lot. Well, we couldn't really afford it last year. You know, we didn't know what to expect. And this year we went all out.
Yeah, so 14 feet. That seems like a lot. But what
Well, we're used to riding ramps with 11-foot radiuses.
Right.
This has a 7-foot radius.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's only actually adjusting to a smaller transition for us.
Right. So there's you're sort of wanting to push you down when you hit it.
Yes.
It's sharper than you normally deal with. But a pool has a shorter radius, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But we're used to skating ramps these days.
I mean, yeah.
X Games are here at the Staples Center.
No, I mean, I'd be on my Black Knight hitting coping. You know. The X Games are at the Staples Center?
Yeah, I just got back from there.
What the hell's going on with this?
How is that? It's crazy, huh?
Well, the whole X Games thing, I remember, I guess everything starts out this way, but, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, it was like, really?
Some random...
Luchenstein is on a mechanics creeper, and he's going down a hill? Big deal. And then all of a sudden, it's like, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Luchenstein still doing it? Remember that guy?
I don't think so.
Son of a bitch. We went up north to do it a few years back, and that goddamn Luchenstein never left me alone. It's a big behemoth in a leather jumpsuit. I get on my back, and I go down a hill on a skateboard. I'm like, so what? What is that? Is that ballet?
Oh, man.
You make fun of those losers, right?
They don't have luge in the X Games anymore.
Oh, they don't?
Mm-mm.
Good. Luchenstein's back managing the Arby's. All right. Where are we? Oh, did I knock this thing off, Ben?
Yeah, either three or six.
What'd you have, three or six?
Six is for Tony.
All right, let's go six. Brandon?
Yes?
You got a question for Tony?
Yep, I got a question.
There
Hey, Brandon.
Hi, Tony. I'm a really good fan of yours. Hello?
Well, thanks.
Yeah, and you're the reason I started skateboarding.
Really? How long have you been skating?
Like 3 years almost, but I'm just trying to practice on my ollie.
Cool. Well, you can always improve your ollie, no matter how far you get. I still want ollie higher.
Oh, yeah? How's the ollie go?
The ollie is like the no-handed aerial where you snap the board with just using your feet. And
your feet.
That's
basically
the foundation of every modern trick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that named after a guy named Ollie?
His middle name was Ollie.
Wow. Hey, I learned something today. Thanks for having me on, Adam.
This was my idea.
Very educational.
I'm going to add that to my list of things to do before I die.
Ollie.
No, have something named after me.
Oh, okay.
Right now I have jump into a body of water with a knife in my mouth.
Yeah?
It's just the things I'd like to do. I have a cape removed from me on stage. You know, I come out on stage and my second comes and removes the
James
cape.
Brown.
I want to have my hands registered somewhere. Maybe be thrown out of a casino for winning. And now I want a skateboard move named after me. The A-hole. All right, so, hey, Brandon?
Yes?
Do you have a question for Tony?
Yeah, I got a question.
All right.
Hey, Tony, how come you're retired from competition? I still think you're a really great skater for a competition.
Oh, thanks, man. I did it for so many years, and it has opened up other opportunities for me to not be following the competition schedule, like Boom Boom Huck Jam, you know? And it's more fun for me to do exhibitions and not be under that pressure that, you know, you got to make the one routine. I like to be able to try stuff over and over.
And you've been pro since you were 14.
Yeah, so I think it was just time for me, you know? And I didn't want to fade out. I wanted to leave on a good note.
Do you think – I have a quick question for Tony. Tony, there was an article today in the LA Times about a kid named White.
Sean White.
Yeah, like 16 years old and is now getting into both the snowboarding and the
– Yeah, well, he's already the top snowboarder.
There you go.
And now he has set his sights on being a pro skater, and he qualified for the X Games at a recent event, and so he's the hot young vert guy.
So I guess what I was asking, is this like a Tiger Woods thing where people are getting like younger and better at doing things that when you started out people weren't really doing?
Sean White is an exception.
Hmm.
You know, he really is a phenom.
You want me to get rid of him?
What's that? Can you take him out?
Get the stagehand to loosen up.
Yeah,
to
loosen his trucks. Yeah, that might work.
Yeah.
Knowing Sean, he'll just figure out a way to work around it.
If you want something named after you, how about, you know, Murder in the First? How about that?
Oh, they have. No. This has got to be a move, a maneuver. It could be like a sleeper hold. You know, it could be a wrestling move.
Right. Anything.
Could be like a.
What about a sandwich?
Boxing punch, like a bolo. It could be a sandwich, except it'd have to be big. It couldn't be local or regional. You know, it need to be a large scale. People would have to know it. It'd have to be like Reuben. You know what I'm saying? Something big. You know, BLT, something like that. Right. You know. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Tony Hawk here tonight. Doctor, what the hell is that?
What
Dr.
is that?
Ben?
That's not me.
Is that your pager?
Nope. Innocent.
Dr. Ben in here, gynecologist to the stars, filling in for Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Almost said Dr. Drew. We're just talking about that rascal. I miss him so. He's in Toronto working. Tony thought I was kidding. I know it sounds like I'm kidding.
Right.
If something
you gave that disclaimer, but it just still sounded like it was a joke.
Yeah,
he is in Toronto working on a movie with the Olsen twins playing their father. And if you think about it, he looks the part. I mean, if you picture the Olsen twins and you picture Drew, okay, he's about the right age for them. My theory, I have three theories actually as to how he got the gig. One of them involves Satan, so I'm not gonna explore that one yet. But the other two are they could have watched Loveline, the TV show, when they were like 17 now, so they would have been like 12, 13, maybe 14 years old. Would have been that prime time for the adolescent young girl to stay up late to fire parents and watch the late night MTV show. So they could have been watching MTV and digging Drew's scene when they were 13. You know, just about the time you're getting a crush on the good-looking doctor with all the answers. Secondly, we did that Dawson's Creek thing about, it's been about 3 or 4 months ago, but we guest starred on some episode of Dawson's Creek. They could have been watching Dawson's Creek. I'd say it's one of those two things. They spotted him, and they wanted him for the movie.
They specifically requested him?
I guess so, yeah. I don't think he stormed the set.
I don't know.
They probably wanted, like, Robert Duvall first. Yeah. He was shooting something else. Yeah. I'm sure he couldn't have been their first choice. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Tony Hawk is right when he says that Dr. Drew was well down on their list.
Come on, people.
I'm going to tell Drew when he comes back.
Tony, your name is dirt now.
Tony, I can do a loop on a skateboard, so I must know everything, Hawk. I'm going to tell him about that.
No.
He'll be very pleased to hear that.
All right, great.
All right. So, anyway, he's shooting that. Tony is here tonight, and Dr. Ben, who is a gynecologist and obstetrician, is here filling in for Dr. Drew. All right, and also this tour is Tony Hawk's Boom Boom Huck Jam tour, which is nothing short of amazing. Doing a loop on a skateboard. You got guys doing crazy things on the dirt bikes and the BMX bikes. It's all there. That's going to you can start buying tickets on August 16th. And if you just go to www.boomboomhuckjam.com or tonyhawk.com, you can find out when they're coming to a town near you. All right. Beth?
Yes.
Beth, wake up.
You're 21. What's up?
Oh, yes. I was just calling to ask about both bacterial and yeast infections. I've had bacterial infections twice recently, and I get yeast infections like every month. And I know it must be related to my period because it's always like during the week before my period.
What's the difference, Dr. Ben, between the bacterial and the yeast infection?
Well, yeast is a fungus and bacteria. They're just different organisms. Both of them can cause irritation to the vagina. The vagina basically begins to get irritated in different ways, either by itching or just general discomfort. I'm just wondering, as Beth is describing this to us, she's saying she's getting repetitive yeast infections. Are these diagnosed as yeast infections each time, Beth? When you said you get a yeast infection every month, you might feel uncomfortable every month, but does somebody actually diagnose you with a yeast infection?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you go to a physician or somebody who looks under a microscope and tells you have another yeast infection just like you did last month?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
After you've gone through that for a couple of times, what have you heard from your physician or from whoever's diagnosing you?
I had a problem with yeast infections related to my birth control years ago. But this has, I don't think, that I'm not on the same birth control anymore. I'm actually on ortho tricyclin low now because I thought that perhaps the lower estrogen level.
That's correct. So let me just, for everybody else who's listening, Beth, and just let me cover who gets repetitive yeast infections, because it's fairly unusual.
Bad people. It's sort of a punishment. Yeah, it kind of is, right? God does punish those who are bad. He works in mysterious ways. All right, so besides bad people,
basically, the birth control pills is associated with repetitive yeast infections. Pregnancy is associated with repetitive yeast infections. People who are on prednisone. These are people who maybe have arthritis or asthma. Taking prednisone increases your risk for that. And people on antibiotics. Antibiotics basically kill the normal flora, the normal bacteria that live in the vagina, and allow yeast, which to some degree is always there, to completely overgrow and become the predominant organism in the vagina and then cause symptoms.
What's up with the vagina? It's being like a swamp or a gym locker or something. Like, what is it alive for? Why can't it just be simple? Just be like a moccasin, you know what I mean? It's got to have so much going on in there for.
Right.
What kind of plan was this?
That's why they're a gynecologist. God created the vagina.
I know, but you guys came around like 10 minutes ago. Poor women have been struggling for this for millions of years. What was the plan to make this such a, you know, put a Steinway? Like you take a Steinway and you mix it with a Ferrari and a swamp and you put it up the woman. It's complicated. No one can work on it. People don't know how to fix it.
Right.
It's a mess. What's going
on?
That's
why you have to go to medical school for 4 years and you have to go to residency for 4 years and then you kind of try to get a handle on it.
I just thought of a horrible question. As a gynecologist, you guys work on cadavers?
Well, everybody goes and does
that.
Yeah, but
you work on gynecological cadavers?
You could, for some complex gynecologic surgeries. You can certainly, you know, attempt it on the cadaver.
Be rough. I mean, before you donate your life to science that way, you may want to think about the gynecological cadaver. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. Well, but that would be too bad for the gynecologist who's trying to, you know, become a better surgeon.
Yeah. That's where I hang up my tonks at that point and walk. That's where I go back on the pro circuit.
Drew back his jacket that you love so much.
You ever work on any cadavers?
Sure. Well, in medical school, yeah.
But not since. Yeah, too tempting. All right.
Can I finish up with Beth she gets something out of this other than cadaver talk?
Yeah.
So, Beth, I think there was – there's a couple of other things, and these would be the more serious things which can cause repetitive yeast infection. So I don't mean to freak you out or anything, but diabetes is something that we sometimes think about. There are other immunosuppressive situations like people with HIV/AIDS. Exactly. So hopefully at some point, especially if this has really become repetitive, somebody should have had a long discussion with you, seen what medications you've been on, and maybe talk to you about some of your options. A good option is to do kind of what you just outlined for me, which is decrease the amount of estrogen that you're taking in your birth control pill. So, for example, orthotricyclin, which might have been something you were originally on, contains more estrogen than orthotricyclin low. The low implies that there's a lower amount of estrogen in that pill. And that would be one way to go to definitely try to, you know, see if that changes things up for you.
All right. Good luck with the vagina.
That's the short
answer. Do you say that at the end of your examination?
Don't say
good luck with the vagina.
No.
And you say like what a mechanic would do, like when you know, like when they bring the car, it's like, how's she running? She pulling to the left? What's going on?
No, Adam, I just ask if there are any problems and we go from there.
And do you do that thing where like what a mechanic will do, I'll go like, as long as I'm putting it up on the rack. You know what I mean? We might as well check this.
It doesn't work
as long
out.
As you're up in the stirrups. Might as well do a quick hymen retread or something. You know what I mean? Is there stuff you want to do as long as they're up there? None of that?
Just make sure they're okay.
Uh-huh. Do those Olsen twins come into you?
I haven't seen the Olsen twins, just on TV.
Yeah. That'd be a freebie, though, right?
Oh, Adam.
No, I mean, there's certain women you want to charge more for, right? I mean, you want to. You can't, but you want to.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah. Simple nod will do. Nick?
Yeah? Hey, I want to say what I would normally say to Dr. Drew. I'd say that you guys are all pimps, except for Dr. Drew. You're a passionate, passionate man.
He is a man of exquisite passion.
But he's not there, so that kind of ruins my fun.
I'm trying to keep the passion in the room for Dr. Drew.
Dr. Ben, a man of passion as well.
I bring in the passion.
That's right. I got a something for Dr. Ben real quick. You know how Adam was asking you about weird things in gynecology? Well, my mom works for a urologist, and she had a guy with a balloon in his urethra. So,
he found a balloon in his urethra.
Was yeah.
It, how you blown would, up was that balloon, or was it just completely out of air? What
like
was he
a
doing?
Poodle. Do you think he ate the balloon?
Yeah, is the story going anywhere?
No.
What
no,
happened?
It was just a piece of quick information, you know, from
the... All right. Thank you.
All right, Nick.
But
Nick, what's your question?
My sister came out as bi about 2 weeks ago, and she was abused when she was little. I was wondering if that had, you know, anything to do with that, or, you know...
How do you know she was abused?
Because my father went to jail for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that, by the way.
Oh, no.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
And your sister is older?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 22.
Oh, really? Is she out of the house?
Yeah, she was in Wyoming, actually.
All right, so she's out of the state for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're worried about her, probably, but it's all water under the bridge now.
Oh.
I mean, she's probably bi because of what your a-hole dad did to her, but there's no way to prove it, and even if you could, it wouldn't matter because she would still be bi.
Yeah.
So you just be her good little brother.
And so should we send my dad to Puerto Rico or Florida? I forget which one it was.
Oh, you mean for his punishment?
Yeah, the penal colony.
Oh, your dad is not. This is a bogus call.
No.
I'm going to see you in hell or Riverside.
Riverside.
Or possibly both.
Both, okay, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I wonder if people who do go to hell, I wonder if they get to hell, and if they did live in Riverside, they get time served. you know what I mean? Like when your court date is going on, and they finally issue your sentence, but you've been in for 2 years, so you deduct that from what he gives you.
I would totally vote for that. I was
would
in Riverside
you?
For 3 years, so I would
time
totally
served,
sign up.
Right?
I'd love to have that as time served,
Tony. But you may not. You probably won't go to hell unless you did what I thought you did to the vagina cadaver.
I don't know.
Tony Hawk is in here tonight. He's plugging away on one of his various projects that we'll talk to you more about after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is a gynecologist who's filling in for Dr. Drew tonight. And Tony Hawk is here as well. Tony Hawk is filling in for himself. Tony has got his X-Game type circus that he's taken on the road. This is the second year. Last year was such a success that he's doing it again, and it's bigger and better, and he's doing a loop on a skateboard.
Yes.
Which, I would love to see. 14 feet is the ID of the loop, as we call it, right?
Yes, there's a 14-foot loop. There's also a 30-foot drop. We call it the theater foot free fall, so it sounds really cool.
There's a 30, like takeoff ramp?
Takeoff ramp into a gap, ramp-to-ramp jump.
Uh-huh.
That's 30 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
that was
far.
In it last year, though.
That's yeah,
amazing.
I've seen a guy do that. I mean, it's crazy what kind of ground is covered or what kind of air is covered in a skateboard. What I mean, and 30 foot, by the way, just go stand under a 3-story building and look up. That's 30 feet. As
yep.
a matter of fact, don't stand in front. Lay your head down on the sidewalk and then look up. That's the ground. That is the amount of distance you have to cover in one of these skateboards. And how fast is the guy going when he hits it?
I don't really know, honestly.
Got to hit him with a radar gun.
I want to say like 30 or 40 miles an hour, probably.
And you just A, what, is his board any different than anyone else's board?
Some of the guys use the same setup. I like to keep one with the trucks a little tighter because when you're going that fast, you tend to start wobbling with the speed.
Right.
So I keep the trucks a little tighter. But actually, a skater just broke the world record, Danny Way. He went 75 feet.
And is the record have to be ramp to ramp?
It's basically, it's ramp to ramp, yeah. I mean, it's basically if you can jump further than that in the air, if it's not a ramp,
you're in trouble.
No, I'm just saying, like, fair game, you can give the record.
Well, but, I know, but yeah. But into a lake, would that count?
Oh,
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's landing. You got to land it.
You got to land it, right?
And so what he did was he built a landing that was almost all slope so he could land anywhere he wanted on it.
Sure. Right.
And they just measure right where his wheels hit.
Right. Right. But the takeoff's got to be. Now, did he take off? Did he get pulled by car
or
something?
No, he went down this giant rolling. I mean, it was probably about, I don't know, 40 or 50 feet.
It seems at a certain point, it's like you should almost be propelled. I mean, just have a guy on a motorcycle or something whip you into it or something.
Because, yeah, but it's all very calculated. When you design the ramps, you know how steep you want it. You know what kind of radius you want at the bottom and how much it's going to take to do this. And if
that's where my shady gaffer comes in and starts listing things up.
Yeah. We're going to write a script around that.
Please do. Wow. So this is going to be a good show. And this is just the skateboard portion of it.
Skateboard and bikes do the 30-foot jump. The motorcycles do a 60-foot jump, which is actually small for them.
Yeah.
Because we got to fit in an arena.
Right. Oh, my God. I can't. You know, the other thing, too, that's crazy about the bikes is they don't need a run at stuff anymore.
No.
Like, they turn around a berm. It looks like they're right on top of the jump. Yep. They hit it hard in, like, second gear or whatever. And the next thing you know, they're 50 feet in the air. Crazy kids these days.
They have their own acceleration.
All right. Let's speak to Josh, who's 25. Josh?
Hello.
What's up?
First of all, you guys rock. Tony Hawk, you're great.
Thank you.
I had a question for Dr. Ben.
Okay.
And that is, I had a little too much to drink at a party once, and somebody kind of said I wouldn't put a stun gun to my testicles, and I did. And I was just kind of wondering if that could cause any, like, future fertility problems or anything like that.
What about it?
That's crazier than what Tony does for a living.
It should be a stunt in the show, though.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that. Actually.
Drunken Josh,
did you pass out?
Pardon?
Did you pass out?
No, it didn't hurt it, but then 10 minutes later, I nearly fell over.
Yeah, does that would that scramble the kid's brain? Not his brain, but his
future offspring. Well, what works well for you is that you basically kind of, the sperm turnover in the testicles so quick, you just completely replace all the sperm within about 7 to 10 days.
I turned some over last night.
Do you think that could be the new condom, though, where you just hit that and then you've got a good hour with sterility?
Yeah, I like that.
And then you're out and you're fine.
That's a good idea.
I just don't think it'll work.
But it's sort of
possibly. It's like all those sperm.
It's like in those movies where you hit the guy with the knockout dart, and it's like, all right, we got 44 minutes to get in and out of here before he comes around.
Right.
You just hit your nuts with the stun gun. Sperm is disoriented. It's swimming up your ass. It doesn't know what way to go. It's trying to get back in your penis while you're walking for the bathroom. It's trying to chase you into the kitchen. Yeah. Tony, this is a great idea.
Thanks, Tony. You're talking to the same guy who wanted to invent the gyno dog. Do you remember that, Adam? That
was on my your venereal
list.
Sniffing dog.
That's right.
And let me tell you this. Okay. First
this
off,
this wouldn't be the first time.
I think I'm going to go down like Da Vinci, and that he had a lot of ideas that were way ahead of his time.
Right.
You know, he had like the helicopter.
Right.
I think he invented the Etch-a-Sketch. There are other things that he may have invented. I'm not sure all he invented, but he invented a lot of good stuff that didn't come around for hundreds of years. And, in his time, of course, his contemporaries, helicopter, what are you, high?
Crazy.
Yeah, they made fun of him. Now, considered a genius. I think I'm going to be seen that way through history myself. And I think my, first off, my heated sofa is something, and my shotgun beer with the pull tab on both sides.
Right.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
But my gyno dogs. See, a dog's sense of smell. No, I'm glad you did. A dog's sense of smell is like 1,000 times more acute than a human's, right?
Yeah.
They can smell anything. They can smell gunpowder. You can take a joint, pack it in coffee grounds, weld it into the fender of a pickup truck. That dog can smell it if it's looking for a joint. Why? And now, gynecological diseases, venereal diseases, they got their own smell. Everything's got its own smell. Cancer's got its own smell. And you're making fun of me, but they've trained dogs to smell skin cancer now.
You're actually right.
And this is years after I came up with this revelation. Dogs can sniff for venereal disease.
Wow.
And
so what, do you have to bring a dog with you, like if you go to a club or something?
Station them by the door of the club, I would say. Like if you're throwing a party, you put the dog there. If the dog starts chasing its tail or something, you have to escort the lady out. But here's
The men? Men can have it. Right.
Yeah, but I ain't blowing them. You understand? Unless I get really drunk.
Okay.
I'm worried about the chicks. See what I'm saying? Gotcha. I ain't one of them guys.
Sorry to interrupt.
All right. So the dog. Now here's why Dr. Ben doesn't like, because it would put him out of business. It would put him out of business because
well, not necessarily a girl doesn't know she's got a problem,
right?
And then the dog sniffs it.
And it's
got
to go to Dr. Ben.
Yeah.
Right.
Discovered it.
You're
like the triage dog.
Right. He susses out what the problem is and tells them whether
Now I'm understanding.
Right.
I had no idea.
Right. Plus, he could apply the Metro gel, too, with that long tongue.
That's a good reference.
I know what the chicks rub on themselves. We take the dog, we squirt the Metro gel up the dog's nose, and then he just laughs up on the woman's vagina. It gets a kind of deep penetration that a woman could never get with an applicator. That's what I'm saying. And also, so here's my main point. It's a lot of women are a little bit tentative about going to the gynecologist, especially the younger ones.
Okay.
This is a non-invasive way to tell if you got a problem. You just sit there in the skirt. You don't have to pull the panties down. Just in a waiting room. Dr. Ben runs by with the dog. You know, just like the guy at the airport. You know, and if he stops and he starts chasing the tail or scratching at the crotch or something like that, we know we got a situation. Hey, if the dog passes you by, you come back in 6 months. No problem.
Genius.
This is a genius.
Better be recording this. We'll all be looking back.
They can train these dogs to sniff anything. It's not like they got a special dog for cocaine and a special dog for gunpowder. All they got to do is train them on whatever it is, pot, coke, gunpowder, whatever it is, cancer, crabs, herpes, chlamydia, whatever it is. We train them. That's what it is. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I'm speechless.
I don't know
what to say.
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the reminder.
Glenn?
Yeah.
You're, 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, Adam, you're the best. You're like my idol and stuff. You rock.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tony Hawk, oh my goodness, you're the greatest. And my question is for Tony. There's this guy that walks around our town. His name's Slim. And the story behind Slim is that he used to ride with you in competitions, and he got hit by a bus, and now he's like crazy and retarded and can't talk. I just want to know if that was true or not.
Wow. Is his nickname Slim now, or is that his real name?
I don't know. Everybody calls him Slim, and he calls himself Slim, kind of.
Where are you?
I'm in Hemet, California.
I'm not too sure.
But listen, Glenn, the guy got hit by a bus. Yeah. I should cut him a little slack.
I'll say yes, just so that he's got something to
Slim.
Go on.
Yeah.
Slim.
Hey, Glenn, what's up with
Slim
you?
Slim was a ripper.
Yeah, he was hot. I remember him.
He was hot. He had a wacky style, but he was hot.
What are you doing? Going to junior college?
Actually, I'm working full-time right now.
Good. What are you doing?
I'm an x-ray technician, darkroom technician. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty good. At 19? Yeah. Doing good.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
don't worry. Yeah.
Adam, do you have all your votes yet?
Or what?
A piece of paper for congressman?
Oh, for governor?
Yeah, for governor.
Congressman.
No, I gave that up. It turned into a zoo.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right.
Once Gary Coleman was in, Adam was out.
That's right.
That was straw.
Right, I got bigger fish to fry, like my cancer-sniffing dogs.
Hey, that's a great
sniffing.
Idea. All your ideas are great.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And my next idea is to hang up on you, though.
That's the best idea.
Using your own logic. That's right. Cut by his own knife. Lael?
Hi.
Hey, is it Lael?
Lael.
Lael.
Yeah.
What kind of name is that?
Yeah, what is that?
It's Gaelic. I don't really know.
What does it mean?
I have no idea.
All right. Never looked into that, huh?
No, I haven't.
You don't sweat the details. I like that. Once in a while, you meet someone whose name is a popular song, and they never heard the song. That always freaks me out.
Like what?
Yeah,
a popular song?
Well, I mean, it would have had to have been like 20 years, 30 years earlier kind of thing. But you figure somebody would have gotten to them.
Yeah.
And then you go, hey, your name's Wendy. The Beach Boys had a song called Wendy, and so the association. And they'd be like, huh?
I met a kid named Gage, which, you know, is fairly common. And I said, oh, have you seen that movie Pet Sematary? And he goes, yeah, that's my mom's favorite movie.
Oh, so he was
actually named, he was named after Gage. After Gage.
I thought
the
it was
kid that came back from the dead to kill his parents.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be an emergency reference, like a Gage and DeSoto reference. Remember that show?
He was actually named after a kid.
Come on.
Maybe I'm
I
was studying too hard.
So busy working those cadavers.
That's my
Emergency was a popular TV show.
Emergency, like when the guys were flipping that. Oh, Gage.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember.
That's
okay,
why you wanted to be a doctor.
That's right. It was because of Gage that I wanted to be a doctor.
That's right.
I remember now.
Gage and DeSoto.
Thanks for the reference. That's right. I remember
All right.
that.
What's wrong? Lael?
Yeah.
So what's up?
I had a question for Dr. Ben.
Listening?
I was wondering what he thought about using two pill packs for birth control instead of going to the placebo, just going straight to another pack, just to lengthen time between your period.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think people do that all the time, and it's basically a great way to, you know, give you more time in between periods. There's nothing out there that says you need to have a period every 28 days. You can have it, you know, any amount of times that you want. In fact, one birth control pill company is supposed to come out with a pill this year that instead of, let's say, every month you get a period, you have a period of once every 3 months. So
yes,
they're basically
seasonal.
Extend seasonal. That's
it.
Right. That's
yes.
right. So you can, you can skip the middleman by skipping the sugar pills and just keep taking one pack after the other and have a period when it's convenient for you. That's how people sometimes, basically, if they're going away on a romantic weekend or if they're going on their honeymoon and they don't want to bleed during that time, they can just basically manipulate their pills so that they can have their period when they want to.
Okay.
We're just thinking
totally
like Haagen-Dazs stock just plummeting now. Like, imagine we live in a society where women, like, we just get rid of the periods.
What about under that notion, though, every 3 months? Does that mean you only have one bad week of emotions every 3 months?
That's a good question. Well, to be honest with you, PMS, which I think you're referring
to. I was trying to be subtle, but
right.
yes.
Is actually, there's as of now, there's really no birth control pill that's been associated with making PMS better. So we can't manipulate PMS the way we manipulate periods. People are still going to have changes in moods that may
so
be
you
related.
Will. So you will have that emotional change once a month.
You still have some emotional mood change. There, compared to placebo, there's just no birth control pill at this point that's been shown to have some effect. There's one birth control pill in a very small study that has been shown to be, let's just call it, promising for that. Compared to placebo, there was a difference. People
right.
did feel better on that pill, but that would be the first time that a pill has ever done anything like that.
But is it – I mean, you're talking about the pill doing it, but
right.
I think Tony and I are basically talking about the pill getting rid of the
right,
period.
That's what I'm talking about.
And so it's sort of – six of one, half dozen of the other. I mean,
just because you won't have a period doesn't mean you won't have
right.
the symptoms that are associated with PMS.
Right.
That would
every
still
month.
Continue every month.
Yeah.
yeah. They just don't have a birth control pill that really knocks out the PMS the way it would, let's say, knock out a period if you just kept taking it.
I got to believe just the psychological aspect and not having something come out of you, namely blood, would help a little bit with your mood.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
See, you have to kind of put the two on two separate bills. One would be the period, and the other one would be the mood. One would be like the bloating and the physical things that happen right,
right.
around your period, and one would be, you know, completely emotional, mood, psychological, whatever.
Yeah,
completely.
I'm just
different.
Saying when you can't fit into your sandals, it makes you angry. You know what I'm saying?
If you're talking about it that way, well, then, you know, you could potentially make an argument. Sure.
So it gets rid of the bloating and that kind of stuff, too, because that's attached
no
to the
period.
Physiological
that's
side
right.
of it.
No period.
All right. Well, we'll just get rid of chicks altogether. I mean, isn't that where we're heading? We'll just hang around and be like Lord of the Flies. I'll rent porn for everybody. That'll be good. You women, you guys, start working on a synthetic vagina instead of all these pills. That's what you need to focus on. That, and then we'll get my dogs. That'd
that's,
be great. Tony will do
line,
a show.
That's what the guy in line for is trying
to talk
to you
about.
So like, look, here's what the day will be. I'll be running around with my vaginal sniffing dogs. You work on the synthetic vagina, so we don't
right.
need women anymore. And we'll just watch Tony do loops on a skateboard.
This is like some kind of demented survivor.
Yeah.
We'll get dumped on
It'll
an island.
It'll be utopia. All right, Lael?
Yeah.
All right, you're fine. Hey, good times, all right?
Thank you.
Yeah, all right.
Good luck.
All right, so the sugar pills are the, what is it, like four of them that are in the pack?
It's generally in a 28-pill pack. There's seven of them. It's the last seven pills, and they're usually a different color.
All right. And what about manipulating the system, I mean, this way? As Dr. Drew says, no free lunches in nature.
Right.
What about eliminating a period? or at least postponing it. You know, something that's supposed to happen 12 times a year is only happening 4 times a year.
Right.
No one's scared of this sort of long-term consequences
of that?
In fact,
there's some evidence that it might be protective because, well, it does several things that we think are probably positive. One is people who have, you know, women in general eat less red meat, eat less iron. They tend to get more anemic because they also lose blood every month, whereas
right.
men don't have to worry about that. But in general, if you cut down on periods, you cut down on blood loss, you can definitely help women who have an anemia issue. So
right.
that would be one, let's say, benefit of doing something like that.
Right.
Then there would be other benefits, you know, potentially as well. There's a decreased risk of some cancers, specifically uterine cancer and ovarian cancer.
My dogs can sniff those.
And so that would all be, you know, taking pills that way to prevent you from having periods can definitely be protective for mm-hmm. many things. So
one of the things they're going to work on is a chihuahua that actually goes up, goes in. Do you know what I'm saying? Getting to the parts that, let's say, the basset hounds and the beagles couldn't get to from the range that they're at.
You might
at.
Need a little more cooperation when you get to that stage.
Well, we're going to use one of your takeoff ranks to get them in yeah. there. The 30-foot.
I mean, with the women.
Oh, with the girls. Don't worry about that. I do tests on the homeless. I just get okay. a six-pack. Leave that to me. That's my job.
All right.
You ride the skateboard, son. Okay. You let me conduct the experiments, right?
Yeah.
Right, Dr. Ben?
Yeah.
That's right.
You actually, I think you really could use one of our lab coats.
I really could.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Tony Hawk in here tonight. Dr. Ben in here filling in for Dr. Drew. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Ben. You know, I never miss that Dr. Drew until this song comes on. This is his song. Normal sings right along to it. Missed that big lug. Tony Hawk in here tonight. Tony is promoting his Boom Boom Huck Jam tour, which is going to be you can start getting the tickets August 16th, which is this Saturday. But what is what's the first stop of the tour?
First one, I believe, is I want to say October 3rd. We're in Vancouver. I have to look that up though.
All right,
beginning of October,
and they're
doing two dates in Portland.
Coming to a town near you.
Yep.
What size venues you playing like basketball arenas and
like Staples Center and
Ben comes up
with our schedule.
I got all the venues
there. There
we
go.
Right here.
October 2nd, Vancouver.
Yeah.
So much I know.
Yeah.
We go to Tacoma and Portland for 2 days, October 4th and 5th on the weekend, because Portland was one of our best shows last year.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, what's a good skate? Like, wherever the most pot is smoked, that's the best town for skateboarding?
Oh, come on.
Come on now.
Actually, we're the coolest towns.
The coolest towns.
The coolest
towns. All right.
Portland is a very cool town.
Right, where they smoke a ton of weed. All right, let's talk to Sarah.
Hi.
You're 16. What's up?
My question is, I've been dating my boyfriend for 7 months now. He's 17, and he is still a virgin, but all of a sudden today he told me that he didn't want to be with me anymore because I won't put out, quote unquote, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to have sex with him.
Mm-hmm. Are you saving yourself for marriage?
No, I'm just saving myself because I don't think that I'm mature enough emotionally yet to deal with that.
Wow. See, here's the catch 22. By you saying that, it means you're mature enough for a guy to have sex with you. It really does, right? That's mature.
That's super mature.
And he wins on a technicality, Sarah. Sorry.
I know.
All right.
But honestly, Sarah, obviously, you know, somebody who's talking to you in that way, and I don't know if this is his last-ditch effort to try to pressure you into doing something that you don't want to do, but, you know, the fact that you're... You know the difference, and that you're gonna say no is a credit to your maturity.
Yeah,
good for you.
And that's fine.
You would know if you felt like he was the guy.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Look, if you want to do it. But if you don't, that's fine. Stick by that feeling.
I know, like we do everything else, you know.
You do.
Yeah, but it's just I see like a lot of girls, you know, mm-hmm. like get attached. Like emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that considered putting out, though?
You know.
The doing everything. You guys do like oral sex?
Yeah.
I think I could get by on that for a few years. Like in high school. All right.
I don't know. It's just really weird, I guess.
Yeah.
Just,
all right. So, yeah. And you guys have been going out for how long?
7 months.
7 months. Okay. Well, look, if this is why he wants to break up with you, then that's his decision. You didn't do anything wrong. You just stood by your convictions, and that's fine. All right?
Okay.
All right. Okay. And listen, don't waffle either. If he does this, you let him go. Yeah, you find a nice guy who will respect you, all right?
Anybody who's going to try to pressure you into it is just, that's probably not the right guy.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Unless they offer you money. Now, that's different. That's a totally different thing. Actually, Ben just wrote that on a note and slid over to me. When should a girl start going to the gynecologist?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
who's not sexually active?
Right. To be perfectly honest,
right.
The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends that women start having regular Pap smears starting at age 18, or when they start having sex, whichever is sooner.
Right. That's
now,
sooner for all our listeners, about 6 years sooner for most of our listeners.
If you wanted
6 to 9 years sooner.
Well, if you wanted to be purely, you know, correct on this issue, the only reason to, at least, you know, obviously there might be other issues going on if there's an infection or if there's something going on with periods that isn't normal, then you might have to see a gynecologist for other reasons or delayed sexual development. There's a whole bunch of things that we do other than, let's just call it, Pap smears or annual exams.
Right.
But in term, if everything's okay, there's a very, and you're not sexually active, there's actually a very good argument that you may not need to see a gynecologist until you are sexually active, because that's around the time where, you need to be potentially screened for sexually transmitted diseases, potentially start getting your Pap smears done, because you cannot have an abnormal Pap smear without being sexually active.
You can't?
You cannot.
Because, why not?
Because cervical cancer and abnormal cells thought to be only transmitted or gotten by having intercourse and getting the human papillomavirus.
Really?
So if you nuns, people who have never had sex, no matter mm-hmm. what their age is, they basically cannot have cervical cancer, which is what we screen for when we do Pap smear screening.
Do you see nuns? Because that's a bad bush. Yeah, I mean, there's no maintenance going. That's a yard that's never getting played in. You know what I'm saying? There's no maintenance going on there. You don't want to see a nun.
That's what he's saying. he doesn't need to see him.
You don't need to see him. You don't see him.
Yeah. Certainly not for Pap smear screening, but you have all kinds of issues, and honestly, the standard line has always been 18 or sexually active.
All right, but you're saying can go older.
You can go
older. So if you're
everything's normal.
You're not sexually
old.
Active. You're a virgin.
Yep.
You're 24 years old.
You're having regular periods. There's no abnormal discharge, no pelvic pain. If you're doing all right, there's no reason.
This is smart. This is good. That's a good trend. This is like those cars with the transmission that you never have to change the oil on, or, you know, you get 100,000 miles before a tune-up. I like that. That's nice. I'm going to tell my daughter that. All right, where are we? Let's see. And what about where do you stand on the emergency contraception? You like that? You
sure.
Like that pill? You give it out? Do people ask you for it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And just a quick word, since you brought it up.
Yeah.
Basically, just for all the listeners, you can get emergency what Adam was just referring to, emergency contraception. A lot of people think of it as like the morning after pill. People who are, let's say, having a condom break on them, happen to have intercourse without being on the pill or not using contraception at the time. In the state of California and also in the state of Washington, pharmacists since 1997 in Washington, and since I believe it was January of 2002 here in California.
Yeah, we're so progressive. We're 5 years behind Washington.
We are 5 years behind Washington.
6 years.
But they basically, you can get, without seeing a doctor, without an appointment, you can go to a pharmacy and get emergency contraception. So there's really, if you live in those two states, you really should be able to go ahead and get in touch with even a pharmacist, even if you don't have a doctor, if you don't go to a gynecologist, at least to get emergency contraception.
It's not the abortion pill.
That's right.
This is something you take 72 hours after
correct.
You have unprotected sex, and you don't have. And why isn't this a bigger issue? How come more people aren't involved with this?
I don't know how to answer that, but certainly I think it's
religious
one,
right retards.
I don't
wouldn't
have,
you say?
Yeah, all I can tell you is that everybody should know about it.
But people are stupid, right? I mean, here's the thing. Wouldn't you think the people that were against abortions, the sort of religious right, would embrace this pill? Because it then avoids
sure.
abortions.
I can give you some statistics. I can tell you that out of the 6 million or so pregnancies that occur in this country, probably half are unintended.
Right.
And the thoughts are that if emergency contraception was widely available, let's just say over the counter,
mm-hmm.
you could probably cut that in half.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't see, you know, if you're really somebody who's anti-abortion, you should be wholeheartedly behind the emergency contraception.
Yeah, but they're not anti-abortion. They're just sort of pro-blowhard. They just like to quote the Bible and yell. They're just idiots. They don't want to. What they don't like is people having sex. It's not the abortion part. They don't like the part where they got pregnant. And it's really made up of religious wackos, which, by the way, is a mental condition in my mind. And I don't know why we don't treat it as such. Yeah, you think you're Napoleon, you're nuts. But you talk to Jesus, you got no problems, you're nuts. All right. Well, let's call extreme religious fanaticism a serious mental condition. Okay, we have no problem doing it with the Shiites over here that are blowing themselves up and turning themselves into bombs. We can do it with the born-agains out here that are shooting the abortion doctors. It's the same thing. So way too much respect for these nut jobs. But they didn't get laid in high school, and now they're angry at the world, and everyone has to pay. And these people who are having sex at 17 years old or out of wedlock or what have you are sinners, and they deserve to be punished. And that's what it's about. They're not interested in getting rid of abortions. If they were interested in that, they'd embrace this pill. Of course they're not interested in that. They're hypocrites. And then the legislators over here and the politicians and all that, they don't know anything. They're not interested in offending anyone or making any serious change. I talked to Maxine Waters about it. Her eyes spun around like they're pinwheels. She didn't know what I was talking about.
Okay. Was Maxine Waters here?
Maxine Waters is too stupid to come here, by the way. She couldn't find the studio.
Wow.
She's like Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. She didn't know where she is. I saw her in Politically Incorrect, and I told her about it. She didn't know what I was talking about. Yeah. She said the data wasn't in yet. They needed to study more. But she's retarded.
She was talking about emergency contraception?
Yeah, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She was trying to blow me off.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like, listen, honey, your poor constituency that's cranking out all the kids and on welfare that I'm paying for could use this goddamn drug. You get with it.
Wow. Okay, one
Jesus
last thing.
Christ.
Okay, Adam.
I'm so tired of this. This is illegal. Yeah. You can't get this drug. No one will give it to anybody. No one will talk about it. Why don't we give this stuff out? It's
How
safe.
Much is it?
It's effective.
Okay, just a couple of things.
I'm angry now. That's it.
Maybe Adam can cool off and I can tell you maybe some more information. But first of all, Adam said within 72 hours, there's actually some good studies that show that it's not as effective, but it is very effective for probably 5 days, so
really?
Closer to 120.
That's 5,000 hours.
How much are they?
And here's how it goes: if you go to, let's say, you don't have a gynecologist, you don't have an internist, you got nobody to call, and you call a pharmacy. By the way, you can get more information on this by there's a toll free number. It's 888 not too late. It's easy to remember. So that's a national hotline.
It's the number's 2, by the way. It's not TWO.
Yeah, that's right. It's the number 2, but the rest are
right.
So 1-888. Not to the number 2 late.
Right.
And you can get all that information. But basically, when you go to a pharmacy, the charges, there's 2 emergency contraceptive, let's just call them plans or pills. One is called Plan B. The other one's called Preven. The Plan B is a progesterone-only tablet. 2 tablets, actually, and the other one, Preven, contains estrogen. The estrogen one, the Preven, can cause a lot more nausea, so a lot of pharmacists will also dispense something for nausea with it. But the cost is, depending on which pharmacies you go and which product you get, is anywhere from $20 to $50.
Yeah.
So unreasonable, especially when you consider, you know, the ramifications of what may happen.
Yeah, what's it cost, all the screwed up unwanted kids in this society, really? Government's got to get involved with this, and they're such pussies and cowards and hypocrites, and they're just such cowardly pussies that they could never bring this up or talk about it. I've never heard any politician speak about it. I've never heard it spoken about on any show, any news, anything of that sort. This is the only show I've ever heard it spoken of, and it's a miracle pill that could really do away with abortions and unwanted pregnancies, and no one will talk about it. Big pussy, hypocrite, cowards. Please. All right, now I'm fired up. Where's my dogs? Sick my dogs, Maxine Waters. Please, she didn't even know where she was. You know when you meet people and you realize they're like dazed and disoriented and all that stuff? Yeah. What is she? What?
She didn't get the Larry King question from you. I think that might have taken her a little by surprise.
Is it really? Politicians can't just be at least of average intelligence. They have to be stupid? All right. All right, and then listen, why aren't people standing up for this? Why aren't people more outraged about it? It's never hurt anybody. There's nothing dangerous about this at all.
In fact, the only contraindication, and it's a mild the only contraindication to taking this is basically being pregnant. I mean, if you know that you're pregnant, that's obviously not going to do you any good, and you shouldn't take this.
Right.
But that's really the only, you know, contraindication.
Yeah, that's right. Let's not take the $40 worth of pill. Let's just build more prisons. It's a great idea. That's my plan. Prisons are cheap. Pills, those are expensive. Brandy?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I don't know if I should tell my husband how I feel after being together for 5 years, being married for 3.5, that I feel that I care for him, but I'm not in love with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
where's he now? Is he working? Is he in his truck?
No, he's up at the hospital with his mom.
Uh-oh.
And I just left him from there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to tell him that I haven't been in love with him in a while. Mm-hmm. And he knows the only reason I came back to him was because that we have a daughter together. Uh-huh. And I was pregnant with her. But I want to be with women. I don't want to be with him.
You want to be with women?
Yes, I want to be with another woman.
I see. And did you get molested?
No.
Huh?
I was raped when I was 15.
Hmm. Oh, all right, it's a start. And your kid, now you have two kids?
Yes, I have one by a previous relationship and one by him.
All right. What kind of retarded game plan is this in life, by the way? Crank out some kids and then go lesbo?
No, he knows that I like women.
Yeah.
I was completely honest about that, but it's the way I was raised that's wrong. And I did not want to be disowned by my family.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. I knew the only way to not be disowned by my family was to be with a guy, whether I love him or not.
Okay. What about the cranking out?
Life.
Yeah. What about the cranking out the kids part? I mean, that seems like a longer commitment to the heterosexual lifestyle. Yeah. There.
I want children. I've always wanted.
All right. Listen. Can you get on some birth control so you don't have a third? Please.
I can't have any more kids.
You can't?
No.
Thank God. Why? What happened?
I've had my tubes tied.
Good girl. We're going to send you out a windbreaker. All right? I called Loveline, and all I got was this crappy windbreaker after I got my tubes tied. It's a little wordy. I'm going to work it out. All right. Okay. So, really, and what about before you were raped? Had to be some abuse there.
My brother beat on me from the time I could walk until I turned around and beat the crap out of him when I was 13.
All right. And, okay. And so a little physical abuse by the brother, maybe alcoholic dad?
Mother.
Alcoholic mother. Okay. So, have you ever got any counseling for any of this stuff? Because you're going to make a horrible mother.
That's not nice.
Well, it's true. I don't know. It's not nice. I mean, your doctor's got to tell someone they got cancer every once in a while. Doesn't make it nice. It's just the truth.
No, I haven't. I told my mom I needed counseling when I was younger, but she wouldn't give it to him. She wouldn't.
Okay, your parents are horrible. So listen, you have girls or you have boys?
I have two little girls.
Good, good, good. Well, that means strippers, not divided criminals. So, Brandy.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what you got to do. If you're not in love with your husband, you get a divorce. I mean, if you're not into dudes, you're not into dudes. What are you going to do? I mean, on behalf of the kids, I don't think it would be a bad idea for you to try to stick it out with the husband. But he's probably a bad guy too, right? What's he doing?
What are the kids doing up at Oklahoma? What time is it?
It's 4 in the morning over there.
Well, I just...
6-hour difference, Oklahoma.
I just got home from work. It's 2 a.m. here, and I...
Okay.
Daycare.
Hold on. Let me talk to my colleagues for a second.
Wow. I feel so bad for
Don't you think if we took the kids and just put them in a bassinet and tied them to a weather balloon and just put them up into the Gulf Stream, they would have a better chance? Just that landing and some maybe some
bad.
Indians would adopt them or
to the
something.
Kids in this scenario?
Listen, here's what happens: they get screwed up, and then I got to pay for them for the rest of my life. So get that loop going. You got to do loops until your 80s now, so we can pay for
to
all these screwed
everyone
up.
From
no, so we can raise tax money to pay for all these screwed up kids. That's what happens. But God forbid anyone.
But
did
they end
involved.
Up with the two moms, or did they end up? With
no, I don't. Listen,
dad.
Brandy,
yes.
You have to create stability for your kids, right? That's job one. Hey, if you're in a loveless relationship and you're not even interested in the gender of the person you're in a relationship with, then you got to get out of there. But I'm telling you, a little bit of counseling. And what kind of music you listen to?
I listen to a little bit of everything.
Yeah, except for classical, right?
No, I even listen to Western.
All right. You listen to country and Western, right?
Yeah.
No, okay. You got to listen to classical music and walk. You got to take long walks and listen to classical music. That's your only salvation.
This Adam, this is what you learned from the psychologist being in here the other night.
Look, here's the deal. Okay, let me tell you. Let me tell you what I figured out. No one's people don't have money. They're not going to therapists. They can't do anything. Yeah. I'm just trying to calm the noise down in their head a little. I'm telling you, if you get a Walkman, you put a little Bach on it, and you go for a long walk around your block, it mellows you out, makes you a better person.
So, you know what?
It makes you marginally smarter.
That sounds good to me.
She got too many words floating around her head.
She's got a lot of work to do.
Focus on the kids. You got to get yourself in order so you can be a good mother.
You definitely have to work on yourself.
If you're into chicks, you're into chicks, but you better make sure before you walk out on this guy. And I bet half of his is that this guy's not a great guy, but we don't have time to get into all that. Kids first. No more kids. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben, give me a little source on what I like to call my master plan. The Tony Hawk in here tonight. Tony is the biggest name in skateboarding ever, I would have to say, quite easily. And I'd say your average layperson knows one skateboarder's name, and that'd be Tony Hawk, wouldn't it?
I even knew Tony's name, and I'm totally out of it. So
yeah, you're a nerd. Yeah. I mean, not nerd, but you spend your day buried in a vagina. You don't know from skateboarders.
I don't know from skateboarders. Yeah. That's true.
It's all because of video games.
Well, that's true, too.
That's how I heard of him.
But I think the 900.
But someone like Dr. Ben knows about me. It's because of video games. I can almost guarantee.
That's how I heard. I can tell you. I heard about you. Yeah.
let's see. I'm just gonna take who's been on hold the longest. Because
why don't you do like the lightning round? Because we got 10 minutes. And all the calls.
I'm buzzing through everyone.
Okay, good.
All right, here we go. Stephanie, you're 16.
Hi.
Okay, stop blaming your parents. All right, let's go. Who's next, JP? Do you mean like that?
We got
to
hear their...
to do it funnier. Where's the bell?
We got to hear their problems.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Forgot the bell. Okay, never mind. Let's just bust
I need
through.
My cowbell. Yeah. That's my problem.
Yeah, but it's in the old studios. It's not here.
Well, the cowbell's not something that can be easily transported. It's like a Steinway. You got to get a flatbed truck. You got to get a cherry picker to get that in here. Pull the door pins out. Take it off the hinge. I don't want to get into logistics. Stephanie?
Uh-huh. I just want to say hi to everyone. I love you guys' radio station. You rock.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, so your new boyfriend is hard to reach. He's always busy. I want to know if he's cheating. How old is he?
He's 17.
And he's your new boyfriend?
Yes.
How long have you guys been going out?
We've been going out for like over 3 weeks.
Well, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when you're having trouble finding a 17-year-old guy at the three-week mark, that means he doesn't look at you as his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He's marginally interested. He's not that interested. 17-year-old guys are pretty excited when they're into somebody.
Yeah.
He should be, you know, he should be masturbating in his car out in front of your house right now. Not hard to get hold of.
And his excuse is that he's always busy with school.
No way.
I think that's just kind of stupid, really.
Do you see him at school?
No, we don't go to the same school.
All right.
No.
This has bad written all over it.
Here's the deal. Don't call him.
He
owes you a phone call. And if he calls you and wants to come around and start acting like a guy who's interested in a girl and come courting kind of thing, that's fine.
Okay.
Courting is, it's been replaced by date rape, but it's what they used to do back in the day. You know, they brought flowers and stuff.
And he knows that my favorite song is Queen of the Stone Age, Go with the Flow. And he has this thing. He's always like, well, let's go with the flow, you know? And I'm like...
Wow, this guy's smooth at 17.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
That's smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. My girls were Stairway to Heaven. I try to work that in myself. All right, let's just, 112 minutes on hold.
Wow.
Dr. Ben, how could you do that?
I didn't see that.
I blame you.
Christina.
Christina. Yeah, you're 15. You saw a sex change show on TV. You want to know how they turn a penis into a vagina?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
They fillet it.
Yeah, that's right.
They cut it down the middle.
By the way, I have no idea, you know, I don't know much about this, but I know in principle what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
but it's crazy. It's like a set. It takes forever.
So they open it up like when you make one of those kielbasa sandwiches where you split the wiener and spread it out. That's good.
I would make a hole for it. I mean, I don't think there's like a hole magically waiting there to be like.
No, the hole's not magically waiting there. That's why they have to undergo a surgery. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I had one more question though. Besides that. But
you're 15. Aren't you supposed to be thinking about like Hello Kitty stuff and
I'm not interested in stuff like that.
Teen idols and stuff
I'm not like in middle school. I'm gonna be a sophomore in high school next year.
So you want to start thinking about flying penises?
Yes, fine. Exactly.
Okay.
I want to know how many hobo powers would a really dead a deadly fart be?
Deadly fart? This came up at work today. Hobo power is a unit of stink measurement that I'm trying to also...
Well, there's so many projects in the hopper. I don't know where you come up with all this.
There's no unit of smell measurement. You know what I mean? I mean, there's BTUs and there's kilowatts and there's RPMs. We got horsepower. We got something for everything but stink. You see what I'm saying?
Have you heard about the scent printers that they're creating?
No.
They've narrowed... generally all scents in the world to these foundation of scents, you know, a certain number,
right,
almost like the colors in the spectrum,
right,
are attributed to the three colors, and they're going to have scent printers where you can record a scent and email it to someone, and then if they have a scent printer, it will emit that very
that
scent.
That is awesome.
And
you
that
should
would
have
be
thought
the
about
best
that.
Way
Where
to
were
share
you when
farts.
They made that?
I thought about farting on the computer years ago.
Imagine sharing farts with your friends in Europe.
Yeah, but you were literally squatting over the computer.
I know. It went number two on the keyboard.
In doing that, there must be some sort of measurement.
Oh, you're
smell.
Right. All right. See, hobo power, it's thought to... Here's how hobo power works.
Okay.
Hobo power is like, let's say a good fart would be like, could be like a 20 to 30 range. Now, 50 means you vomit. Means whoever's in the elevator actually vomit.
Is that the end of the scale?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the end of the scale is a theoretical scale, which is 100, but it's theorized that you would die at 100. I mean, no one's ever seen 100.
Experience.
You would kill.
Yeah, you could actually see 100.
And you could see 100 and... you would be convicted in most courts. Like, you know, that would be at least second degree or manslaughter. If you ever let's say above 70 hobo power out of your ass. Yeah,
that might have been what Saddam was working on. That's why we couldn't find anything.
He was working on a biological weapon.
And that's going to be the new internet sabotage. People emailing you 100 hobo power.
On the stink computer.
Oh, sense. Horrible Good. Virus. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Show, everybody. Joe Rogan in here tomorrow night from Fear Factor and The Man Show. Talk to him about how that's working out. Oh, that'll be interesting. Dr. Drew will be back in tomorrow. Well, not back in tomorrow night, but back on tomorrow night from Toronto, where he's filming his movie. I want to thank Dr. Ben for coming in and doing a yeoman's job.
My pleasure.
Always good to have a gynecologist on the show. And Tony Hawk for coming in. Always good to see
him.
You can go to TonyHawk.com or BoomBoomHuckJam.com if you want to find out anything about the shows that are coming up and when they're coming to a town near you. Thanks a lot, guys. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Ben.
Hey.
Saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.